Well, yesterday was a big day. Usually, I spend the mini budget in lockup, get there to Cape Town at 6 a.m., which means a very early start for me. And this year, I thought, let's rather just rely on Kevin Lings. And Kevin Lings is the chief economist of StanLib, joins us now. Kevin, were you in lockup yesterday?
No, I didn't go to the lockup. I had too many other things on in the morning, so I couldn't make that. But, you know, they release the documents immediately that the minister starts to speak. So you get all the information fairly quickly. Also, I must say the media does a good job in encapsulating what the minister has put out. So it doesn't take you too long to sort of catch up with what the main issues are, and then spend some time delving into the minute detail.
Yeah, the stuff that the context that you would see that perhaps when I was sitting there for 6 hours and just regurgitating, it was very difficult to understand. So this is a better way of doing it. What were the highlights of Enoch Godongwana's address yesterday? I've also read a lot about it, and there are various themes that are coming through quite strongly, but I value your opinion.
So, Alec, I think that overall you would say a bit disappointing. I think there were expectations by a number of market participants that you would get a much more upbeat tone, that you would get a much more vibrant set of initiatives to lift the growth rate more fully, and you just didn't get that. So I think a couple of things stood out here. One is, if you think about it, over the next 3 years, the minister still doesn't have GDP growth going above 2%. So he's saying, yes, next year it grows at 1.7% thereabouts, and we had 1.1% this year. So you could say, yes, the economy is projected to get stronger. But 1.7%, it's not going to do it. You need to get the growth rates up at about 3% and higher, and then sustain it there in order to make a difference to the labor market, which is in essence what this is all about. Because if you can create particularly formal sector jobs, a hell of a lot changes, particularly for the government, changes in terms of the tax base, and the tax base broadens out, and then they can achieve so much more. But if you look at what the minister is saying, that is, over the next 3 years, we get to 1.9% growth. That's with the world economy picking up. That's with inflation under control. That's with interest rates being cut. That is with an infrastructure stimulus, 1.9%. To me, that was the disappointment, that the minister is recognizing that this is all going to take a significant period of time, and that, yes, the initiatives, I think, are appropriate, the initiatives being primarily private-public partnerships in key infrastructure areas. I absolutely agree with that. I think that's our only alternative to try and grow this economy. But there's no doubt that those initiatives are going to take a number of years to really lift the growth rate meaningfully. The other thing that stood out here is that the fiscal slippage continues. Now, it's not
what's
alarming.
That, Kevin? What is fiscal slippage?
The fiscal slippage is that you set a range of parameters in the February budget, and then 6 months later, which is now, you have to say, well, we're not quite meeting those budget objectives. It's like a company setting a profit, you know, objective, and then it has to own up and say, we're not quite there. So what is slipping is tax revenue underperforming, not massively, but 22 billion is 22 billion. And so there's a revenue loss projected now relative to what we projected of 22 billion. There's a expenditure overrun of in the order of 10 or so billion, not massive, but the combination just moves you in the wrong direction. Whereas what you keep hoping is that this thing is all going to start to look quite a bit better. You keep hoping that the credit rating agencies will have something more tangible to look at to say, okay, we'll give you a positive outlook. And so the fiscal slippage, it just continues on. And it's probably unavoidable. There are key reasons why that's happened, but it highlights this essence of it, that without economic growth, this will continue to happen. There's no substitute. You can't budget your way away from low economic growth. You just have to grow this economy a lot faster. And then thirdly, the debt level is going up. So the debt level is going to go to over 75% of GDP. Now, I keep reminding people, but I think it's important. In 2009, when Trevor Manuel left as Minister of Finance, our debt level was 23% of GDP. So we've gone from 23 to now 75% of GDP, which happens, right? It happens in a lot of countries. The problem for South Africa is, what did we achieve through that massive increase in debt? What have we got to show? If you look around in society, if you look at healthcare, if you look at the roads, if you look at infrastructure, what have you got to show for that massive deterioration in your fiscal balances? And the answer is very, very little. You've got a huge labor force, which the minister, I thought he did a very good job in highlighting just how many people the government employs. And if people have got time, I would go look at some of that data that the minister has provided. We employ a lot of people relative to many, many other countries, including developed economies. And so we're spending a lot of money on labor. We're spending a lot of money on the debt level itself in terms of the interest cost. And so there's very little to do anything else. So all of that is a little bit depressing. Where the focus is, though, is where the encouraging bit is, and that is to try and move the infrastructure initiative forward, to try and get the private sector into the system more fully, drive public-private partnerships, and Transnet is critical. Transnet is in a bit of a holding pattern at the moment in terms of, if you read the medium-term budget, there's not a lot that was said about SOEs. And part of that is that Transnet put out their network statement a while ago, early this year, for public comment. And they need to finalize that. The network statement is, in essence, an invitation to the private sector to do business. And when that document comes out in its final form, we'll have a lot more information on exactly the type of parameters that Transnet wants to work towards. And then we can judge whether the private sector will be interested in running various rail corridors. That document is expected out before the end of this year, so not far away, right? So up until we get that and we can understand where the private sector is going to get involved, how extensively Transnet wants to use the private sector, that initiative is in a bit of limbo. And it's a critical initiative. So you've got Eskom and Transnet doing the heavy lifting in terms of some of this infrastructure development. And the idea is that if you can do that, if you can draw in the private sector more and more, and the private sector, I must say, is very willing. I've been in a lot of discussions with pension funds, with various pools of investment funds. The private sector is more than willing to get involved. But you've got to free up the system more fully to get that private sector involved. They're not simply going to hand over money and not be comfortable that there's going to be corruption or maladministration. So it feels to me, from that perspective, yes, more positive. The last sort of comment is, there's an improved sentiment in South Africa that is reflected in a range of things. The currency, equity markets, the bond market. A lot of CEOs of companies have an improved sentiment story they talk about, right? And that is vital. Now, at this stage, it's not a lot more than sentiment. And some of that sentiment has come about because of electricity being better, some of it because of the government of national unity. There are a range of good reasons why the sentiment is better, right? But it feels to me that you've got to use that opportunity wisely. You've got to build on it quite quickly. Sentiment is a way of disappearing if you don't nurture it. And if we lose this opportunity where people are more encouraged, people are more optimistic, they feel the economy should be doing better, and we don't create enough initiatives, then I fear at this time next year, we'll be saying, oh, we're not really moving, things are a bit lackluster. So you've got this conflict. It's very clear that the infrastructure initiative and government's initiative are going to take time, but it's also very clear that you don't have time. And so you hope that government recognizes the urgency with which some of these things need to be looked at, and you need another win. You need something that captures people's imagination that says, yes, we're moving this thing forward. It does feel better. So the numbers are not great in the medium-term budget. The initiative, the policy is correct. The time frames, we don't have the luxury of time. So I would want to see more urgency come through.
You're on fire, Kevin. I didn't want to interrupt you while you were rolling there, but that's really good stuff. I guess the big issue for investors, and Stanlib is an investment company, so you, the guy who gives the portfolio managers the steers of what's happening, is this going to be another Ramaphosa blip for South Africa's equities, or is the government of national unity blip that we've had so far going to be sustainable? Because what you've said now is, and what we've picked up from the mini budget is it is looking more like we might just have another damn squib.
So that is genuinely a real risk. Now there's a lot of there are a lot of people wanting this to work in various parts of various market participants, various companies, CEOs. I must say the focus to get this to the economy to do better is broad, and that's not something I would easily dismiss. When I've chatted to CEOs recently, they all express a significant improvement in confidence. But what they don't say is, when I say, okay, so are you going to be investing? Are you going to be expanding? You've got a decent balance sheet. You could take on a bit more debt if you wanted to. Are you about to expand, build capacity, employ more people? And they all say, every one of them, no. We're not at that point yet. And that's the missing ingredient. And you've got to translate the confidence into action. Now, I think the sentiment will continue on. I don't think it's that fickle. I don't think it will quickly and just suddenly disappear. So I think it's here to stay for a while. And I do think that it's not something that you would say is going to be reversed by any sort of small announcement or any sort of hiccup in terms of the government of national unity. I don't think any of that is going to be really the issue. So you would imagine that the sentiment can continue on well into next year. And I think that if during the course of next year you can implement a policy that moves the country into a better space, then I think you can unlock that sentiment in a better way. Companies have underinvested for a huge period of time. They've got backlogs in terms of technology upgrades. It's off a low base. There's a lot that companies need to do. So I think it can last. I don't think it lasts unattended. By that I mean you're going to have to add to it, actively work on it if you're government. And so there is a good chance that Ramaphosa gains momentum, but you can't bet on it yet. So I know that's a fairly vague answer, but that's more or less where we are. One of the things, Alec, that comes back to us is companies say this, a lot of companies say this. They say they're worried about succession. So if you've got a company that is thinking about investing, they're more confident, they're thinking about expanding, that expansion might be a multi-year expansion. They want to know that there's succession beyond Cyril's term. And what does that succession look like for business? And we've got no real we've got no real clarity on that at this stage.
Yeah, we've got four candidates on the ANC side. We don't know what the ANC is going to get in the next election. Boy, there's a complicated area, but that's why we're so grateful to have Kevin Lings giving us his insights and honest as always. Kevin, thank you for joining us this morning.